Beloved congregation, we left Mary last week. She was bowing herself to the dust in humility, remember. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And then the next thing we read, that the angel departed from her, and Mary departed too. She arose and took a trip. She traveled south to a city of Judah where her cousin Elizabeth lived. Why does she go there? Well, because Gabriel, the angel, you'll remember, boys and girls, the angel had told her that her cousin Elizabeth was also with child. She was already 6 months into her pregnancy at such an old age. And the angel tells Mary this, remember, in order to strengthen her faith as a sign. And so Mary goes. She wants to be with Elizabeth. She goes to have her faith strengthened and to be confirmed in their mutual faith together. The Lord gave Mary this sign because he delights to strengthen faith in him. It's also why he gives the Lord's Supper, doesn't he? To strengthen faith. He delights to strengthen and to build up and to encourage faith in himself, faith in his Son. In fact, he promises to do so. Let that encourage this morning, that this sacrament is given not as a stumbling block to faith, which sometimes we can turn it into. It's given not to hinder faith, but to help it, to strengthen faith. And so let that encourage. Well, we read in the story as Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth that Elizabeth immediately responds with a song of rejoicing. She rejoices in Mary's very presence and in Mary's news, even though she already knew it herself. It's very noteworthy here that Mary doesn't explain a thing to Elizabeth, does she? And yet Elizabeth seems to know everything. How can we explain this? Well, I think on the one hand, Elizabeth and Zacharias would have been doing a lot of thinking for these last 6 months, don't you think? The angel had told Zacharias that this child, Elizabeth's child, shall make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that meant the Savior, the long-promised Savior, is coming. Not just some distance away, soon. But that in itself doesn't explain how Elizabeth knew about Mary. She knew that the Savior was coming in Israel somewhere soon. But why Mary? Well, the words in verses 41 and 44 tell us that in an instant, when the babe leapt in Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth knew, not by human intuition, but because, as we read, the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth. He moved John to leap in her womb at the salutation of Mary, and his presence, his filling of Elizabeth moved her, revealed to her unmistakably, Mary is the one chosen to bring forth the Savior. And immediately, Elizabeth sings, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, what a confirmation of faith, don't you think? Far, far beyond what the angel had promised her. What comfort these words must have afforded to Mary. Even before she could say a thing, the Lord was speaking to her through Elizabeth. But then she hears more. Elizabeth goes on. Verse 45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And this morning, let's consider especially those words of verse 45 under the theme Elizabeth's song, Believing Leads to Blessing. We'll see first the believing and second the blessing. Elizabeth's song, Believing Leads to Blessing. First, the believing. Elizabeth, she makes a statement. She says, blessed is she that believed. Striking that Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, had not believed. And he had been punished. He had been chastened by the Lord. He, even at this time, was unable to speak a word. He could only listen to what was going on. But Elizabeth sees that Mary believed. Mary believed the words of the angel. Mary clung to the message from God. She believed God. It's the essence of faith, isn't it? It's taking God at His word. Believing what God had said, even though from a human perspective, it's unbelievable. Mary, she'd heard an unbelievable message that she, a virgin, would be a mother. Humanly speaking, impossible. Contrary to all natural human logic. It made no sense. And yet Mary believed. As we noted last week, she didn't understand it all. She couldn't explain it all. She didn't say, okay, I can trace exactly how this is going to work and therefore I'll believe it. That's what Zacharias wanted to do. He wanted to have everything lined up so that he could follow the line through and say, okay, I'll believe it. But that's rationalism. That's reason, not faith. And Mary, she didn't reason through it. She received, she believed by faith. And such a lesson here, isn't there, for personal salvation? The Lord sets before us a simple gospel message. The world lies in wickedness and in darkness and in sin by nature. Here is my salvation. I have brought it forth. I've sent my Son into the world to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again for your justification, for your, so you can be right with me. That's the simple gospel message. Believe and receive it by faith. Turn from that sin. Disown your sin. Repent from your sin and lay hold of my salvation. It's very simple. But then we start reasoning. We start throwing up roadblocks and hindrances and it doesn't make sense and it's so complicated. And we say, yes, but someone once told me that unless this or unless that, and what about that person that I saw, the way that they were converted? And if that's not part of my spiritual experience, then how do I know it's real for me? Maybe it's not real. Maybe you've been told it's not real unless. But beloved, we need to go back to Scripture. Do you read that in the Bible? That you need to meet the standards of men? Did Mary go to the local Pharisees and ask if all of this made sense in their minds? They would have said, what, you're from Nazareth? No, can't be. She would have gone to the local synagogue leader and said, this and that is what I received in a vision from an angel. He would have said, you're crazy. You're not from Judah. Sorry. Mary doesn't reason. She commits her way to the Lord. She took the Lord at His word. The simple truth of what God had said, she clung to it. She could lose her engagement. She could be accused of cheating, lying, being unfaithful. She could be stoned. Yet she believed it. She doesn't reason. She doesn't go by what others may expect or what others may say about her. She goes in faith by what the Lord has said. Have you done that? Have you taken the simple gospel message and humbly submitted yourself to it? A message that tells you, though you may not want to believe it, though you may want to justify yourself and weasel your way out from underneath it, that you are conceived and born in sin. And that in God's sight, you cannot stand before Him. Do you believe that? And that this Savior child, here in Mary's womb, sent into this world, is your salvation, is the only way you will get to heaven. Have you turned from your sin and believed in Him? You experienced the painful reality of sin in your life and confess that I am evil, Lord, born in sin. As the form puts it, have you loathed yourself on account of that sin and seen how unworthy you are in God's sight due to it? I was struck this past week as the high school choir sang those words. They hit me as I heard them. It's so fitting in this preparation week. And it was my instant prayer that you students who were singing, that all of you would be able to confess it from your heart. My sins are more than I can count. I dare not raise my eyes. When you see that, when the Lord shows you something of your unworthiness, then the gospel has room to enter in. Then there's need, isn't there? And that's so important. And that's why believing isn't just agreeing with a statement of truth. It is that, but it's more than that. It's personal. When you've sensed that truth, when you've felt that truth for yourself, when you've experienced that that's me, that I'm not what I should be, that I'm a sinner, then you need that salvation. You need that child. Then when the word comes and tells you that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified as a punishment for your sin, that there's atonement in His blood, then you lay hold of that by faith. And you see with what the word says elsewhere, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. That's you. You go running into this strong tower, the name of the Lord. Because there you're safe. The table this morning points to the sacrifice and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as sufficient to pay for all your sins. Do you believe this? Again, not just as a statement of fact, but personally for you. Then do you also believe that word when it comes to you and it teaches you that denying ungodliness, denying yourself those thin things which your heart still hankers after, like those flesh pots of Egypt that the Israelites in the wilderness wanted to go back to, that you deny yourself all ungodliness, that you that love the Lord hate evil, that you denying worldly lusts, you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Paul says. Do you desire to walk in His ways? Maybe you recognize as we think about these things the three questions of the form for preparation. Questions that could be summed up simply like this. What do you think of your sin? What do you think of Christ? And what is your earnest desire? Beloved, if your answers to these questions shows a grieving over sin, a fleeing to Christ, and a longing for holiness, then the table is open for you this morning. And if the answers to those questions do not answer to those affirmatively, then the table is not open for you this morning. If you have that desire, If you have by faith laid hold of this Savior like Mary, that will lead to true blessing. That's what Elizabeth sings of here. She that believed is blessed. It's a timeless truth that Elizabeth here draws on. The timeless truth that those that believe in the Lord are blessed. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not, that sitteth not, that standeth not in ways of sin, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is she that believed. Congregation, the word blessed there means to be exceedingly happy. It comes from the root word meaning lengthy or large. Think of that expression in the Psalms, my heart is enlarged, and you're so happy you could burst with joy, with fullness of joy, when there's every reason to be glad. That's the effect of faith. Faith brings great joy. Elizabeth, she saw this unbreakable connection between believing and being blessed. You can trace throughout the Bible this truth. The results of the faith of all those who had gone before, Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias, was that they were blessed. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was blessed. David in the next psalm, Psalm 2, says, supremely blessed are they who in Christ their refuge take. That's by faith. Supreme blessing. We sang in the opening Psalter from Psalm 84, where we read in the end, blessed are all they that put their trust in thee. Faith leads to blessing. Paul says, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But when we think about that and we compare that to reality, sometimes the opposite seems to be true, doesn't it? God's people don't always seem to be so blessed. It may even be that they say with Jacob, Jacob was mentioned by Gabriel speaking to Mary, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Jacob, that believer, Jacob who in his life had to say, all these things are against me. Jacob wouldn't have told you then, I'm so blessed. There was a very real contradiction in his life, or so it seemed. A very real struggle. A very real pain. Joseph is not. And now they want Benjamin. My children. Look at David in his life. The struggles he had. Doesn't always look like there's blessing. The Lord will try his people. The Lord will sometimes afflict his people for their good in chastising them. Look at Zacharias here in the context. But that doesn't remove this truth that those who in Christ their refuge take are still supremely blessed. Look at Moses. The book of Hebrews tells us that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Affliction. Than to choose and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He saw the blessedness, even though that meant trial in this life. So while it doesn't always make sense from a human reasoning perspective, it's true that those who put their trust in God are blessed. Faith leads to blessing. What are some of the blessings we could outline that flow from believing? Well, you have the blessedness of forgiveness of sin. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven. How blessed. And what a picture we have before us here at the table of this blessing. The broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ symbolized at the table points to the forgiveness of sin. Maybe you struggled this past week with your sins. They rose up against you, as Psalter 110 puts it. You dared not raise your eyes. Against you, sin has battled hard, and you felt your unworthiness before God. But, beloved, think of how by faith in the Lord Jesus, by leaning on Him, through that broken body and that shed blood, sin is fully and freely forgiven. Cast into the depths of the sea, the Lord says, I will remember their iniquities no more. I will freely pardon all their sins. I have blotted out, yea, as a thick cloud, all thy sins. Only for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ offered on the cross. What a blessing this is when you can experience, in your own soul's experience, the lifting off, the carrying off, the taking away of sin and the guilt of sin imputed to you. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. There's nothing in the whole world that compares to that sense of joy and liberty. But there are more blessings. There's the blessings of communion with God and with the people of God. When sin is washed, then the way of access to God is open. Then the Father receives into fellowship. Then there is, in a sense, a restoration of that original walking with God that Adam had in the garden. True, it's still marred by sin, but that link is restored. The connections open again. There are bonds of love, and there's assurance that nothing can befall me without His will. What a blessing that is, to have the care and the protection of the Lord Himself. We can look to human means, and many people do. They look to governments and other systems and means to provide for them, to give them some sense of temporal security. But there's nothing that compares to knowing that I am in the care of my Heavenly Father, and that without His will, not a hair can fall from my head. What a blessing. And there's the blessing of knowing that the word of Him in whom you believe will be fulfilled. All His words are truth. Not one will fail. All the promises of God will be granted, will be kept. And this was the great confidence of Elizabeth, wasn't it? She says that at the end of the verse. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It's the blessedness of believing that everything that has been promised will come to pass. Think of the Creed. We read it every Sunday night. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in the life everlasting. Those things haven't happened yet. Not in their fullness. But there shall be a performance of those things which were told us from the Lord. And every other blessing He has set before you, child of God, that day will come when He will receive you into heavenly mansions, and He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And there will be no more sin, no more weeping, no more anguish, no more suffering, no more disability, no more grief, no more frustration, no more worries and concerns, no more appointments, no more suffering. And let that encourage you to lay hold of this last blessing of faith I'll mention this morning. It's perseverance. It's a pressing on. when you see that all these things will be fulfilled, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That's what the table also points to. There was shame there. For him to lay down his life, he went lower than the lowest. He despised the shame. He endured that cross. So the author there in Hebrews 12 says to you and to me, set that race set before you, run it with patience. His promise, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. And there's so much remaining sin in you, child of God. You feel it. You struggle against your corruptions. Maybe when you're tossed and you're tossed with tempest, you wonder about your spiritual state. You can grow very discouraged. But he has promised. Can say with Micah, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I shall arise. The Lord shall be a light unto me, though I walk in darkness. Remember that the work he has in you begun shall by his grace be fully done. By his grace, not by your greatness or goodness or anything. His grace. And so lean on, continue to depend on his grace in perseverance. Blessed is she that believed. Can that be said of you this morning? If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are truly blessed. Then you may come to partake of this supper this morning. And through it, all the blessings of salvation flowing from the wounds of him who bought them on Calvary. You may come and sit and commune with one another and the Lord here in his house and at his table to his glory and praise. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we give thanks for the blessings of salvation, none of which we have merited or deserved, but all of which are given through the precious blood of Christ. Lord, humble us, we pray, and be about us now as we proceed to partake of the Lord's Supper and administer the sacrament in the midst of the congregation. Leave a blessing behind thee, Lord. Open the windows of heaven, that there may be showers of blessings upon our souls this morning.